Okay, good to see you all today. I don't think we should announce that I'm speaking next time I speak, okay? Because obviously numbers are low tonight for some reason. I'm not gonna take it that it's because I'm speaking. And Roger's off as well. There you go. Okay, so there's no guesses for what the sermon topic is about tonight. The feeding of the 5,000. Well, we've started to look in a bit more depth, actually, at what we felt God said to us back during the 24-hour prayer and fasting day that we went through back in November last year. And we started on the first Sunday of this year, looking at Hezekiah. Maybe you could put that slide up, please. Up, brilliant. We started looking at Hezekiah and the lessons God wanted to teach us through this man's life. He became a king of Judah after his father had led the nation of Israel into rejection of God and into idolatry. We saw that, as the slide says there, Hezekiah actually went about restoring the temple of God and destroying all the false idols that were in the land. And for us today, living under the new covenant, so to speak, with God's Spirit living in our hearts, not in a building like then, we felt that this symbolized a call from God to us to clean up our hearts, to get rid of all the other gods, so to speak, that take priority in our lives, and to start prioritizing God in his rightful place. Hezekiah also called others to do the same. And our response to hearing the voice and the call of God on our lives should be to do exactly that, to call others to do the same. Christians, by nature, should be missional, should have that outreach approach. We learned from him that we are to resist the devil's taunting. Whenever we make a decision, a clear decision, to do something for God, we will inevitably face a challenge. And that challenge may well come in the form of sort of ridicule. It may come in the form of self-doubt. But we have to resist those things in order to do what God wants us and has called us to do. Hezekiah begged God to act. He begged God. He got desperate with God. And desperate times deserve and require desperate measures. And the question that lay on our hearts and was prompted at that point was, how desperate are we for God to have a place within our lives and within our hearts? And he prayed and he asked God. Hezekiah did that. And we're encouraged to pray and not give up. And do you know what happened then? God responded. God responded in an incredibly miraculous way to Hezekiah's prayer. And he will also respond to our earnest prayers as well. Okay. Psalm 37, verse 5 says this: commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will act. Then we were told about the purpose of this self-preparation, so to speak, this personal preparation that God has asked us to do. And we found that in Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5. Perhaps you could have that up on screen. Because our preparation was there to actually, it had a purpose to it. And that purpose was to prepare the way for God to move in this town. And I believe that these verses are really important for us as a fellowship this year. That we had to prepare our hearts and lives, as Hezekiah did, the temple, so to speak, in order that we might prepare the way for God to move in Caerphilly. But particularly, our focus is Castleview, Castle Mine area. So particularly in that area. Just like an athlete who must go into strict training and preparation before they compete, we too must prepare our hearts and lives before God, because God has got a job for us to do. He's got something for us to do to prepare the way for him, to prepare the way for him. And when we do, God promises to act just like in these verses here. Let's just remind ourselves of them. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. And that, I believe, is a prophetic promise from God for us this year. And it's so very, very important in the context of receiving the word of the Lord for us. For it clearly reminds us that when God speaks to us, as he often does, it's for a purpose. It's got a purpose to it. There's a purpose behind it. We can get caught up so easily in the wonder and amazement that the God of heaven speaks to us. And we can crave that voice, yeah, more and more. Word seekers seeking signs. And all of this is perfectly acceptable, but not if it isn't then followed by action and deed. That's really important. For God calls us to follow him wherever he leads. There's always a missional purpose for us when God speaks. Because he's called us to be missional people, to be missional people, to spread the good news. And the big question we must ask ourselves tonight, and indeed for the rest of our lives, is what are we going to do with it? What is our response to that going to be? I can outline what I felt God was saying to us back in late November last year when God gave us this passage about the feeding of the 5,000. Carol, when she speaks on Esther, and Maria, when she speaks on Ruth when they return from holidays, both words that came to us over those 24 hours. And they can so eloquently outline what they believe God was saying again to us through these passages. But what good is it all if we are not prepared to do what God is asking us to do? You see, the call of God in our lives is not just to prepare our hearts. That preparation is so that we might prepare the way for him. Can I have the next slide, please? And God calls us to do life with him. To do life with him. And part of doing life with him will mean that he will say to us, like he does through this story of the feeding of the 5,000, that whatever fish you bring as your individual personal offering, he will multiply it. He will multiply it. And he will build the kingdom of God from that small offering, from that offering. I suppose within most of our psyches lies a desire, for some reason, for security, which pushes us maybe to seek God's voice, because that acts to comfort us. It does. When we hear God's voice, it comforts us, knowing that God is with us. The downside to the security thing is that it drives us to stick with the status quo, so to speak, when actually God is calling us to a life of risk-taking, out on the edge, so to speak. You might say, well, what's all this got to do with the feeding of the 5,000, Pete? And I would say, I really believe it's got everything to do with it, because I believe that God is expecting us to expect that when we make our offering, our fish offering, that life will change, that our lives will change. There's a song that we often sing, I'll never be the same again, one of the words says. I will never be the same again. Yet, our natural desires are to cling to what we know. And Jesus says, doing life with me is resigning yourselves to a life of risk-taking and change. You know, when Simon Peter said yes to following Jesus, do you think that he expected to be feeding 5,000 people with two small fish and five loaves? Or do you think he expected one day that he'd be walking on water? None of these things would have happened if Simon Peter had stayed in his boat that day when Jesus called him. Yeah, it's a bit chilly here, isn't it? We should be doing some exercise before we started off, I think, shouldn't we? When Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and life to the full," one translation calls it abundant life. What do you think he meant? That we would know, that we would not know what tomorrow may bring, but we would always know that our destiny was secure. Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And that's doing life with God. That our ultimate destiny is secure in his hands. But our daily life will be full of uncertainty and risk-taking and God's miraculous provision and answered prayer and God's presence. That's what doing life with God is all about, abundant life. I'm reading a book at the moment which is quite enlightening, to say the least, and I can recommend it to you. I was recommended the book a couple of days after I mentioned on the first church group of this year. I just sort of felt that God was saying to us that this year is going to be a year of change, and that we won't be the same again. We won't be the same again. That this year is going to be a time of change and transformation, not just for Gateway as a corporate body of believers, but for individuals. In fact, that change in Gateway will stem from change at the individual level. It will stem from a group of individuals who choose to do life with God together, and who choose to say, "Lord, here's my fish, my loaves, my life offering. What will you do with it?" Anyway, this book is called The Faith of Leap. And even though I haven't finished it yet, I can recommend it. It's quite challenging. And one of the quotes from it says this: "So much of our lives is caught up in the development and maintenance of security and control. But as Helen Keller observed, security is mostly a superstition. Avoiding it is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing." Sorry, yeah, you got that, yeah, brilliant. I should have said that, shouldn't I? "Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. And when our only experience of Christianity is safe and controlled, we miss the simple fact that actually faith involves risk." Let me explain it like this. On Thursday, this week just gone by, after my hospital adventure on Tuesday, Bruce Collins popped in on the way to the airport to share something with us and to pray for me physically, pray for my physical body. And when praying, he chose a really strange phrase that stuck in my mind. He said, "Lord, I pray peace into Pete's body." I kept saying it. "I pray peace into Pete's body." And I thought, "Oh, right, okay. What's all that about?" An hour later, I had a text from Claire saying, "I was praying for you both and felt God wanting me to share this verse with you." And you could almost sort of sense the uncertainty she perhaps was feeling doing this, because she didn't know if it would mean anything to me. John 14, verse 27, she said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." That morning, Claire had the faith of leap. Risky and unsafe, she could have ended up with egg on her face, so to speak, it could have actually meant nothing to me. But God doesn't work like that, friends. He works everything for the good. The morning after, Kath had a fantastic experience. I was taking her some tea, which I do quite regularly, when she said, I've got a verse for you. So instead of asking stupidly, I don't know why I did this, what's the verse? I said, how did you get it? She said, I was praying, and I asked God to say something to me, and the letter J, 18, verse 6, popped into my head. She thought, right, okay, J, chapter 18, verse 6, Joshua. I'll have a look in Joshua 18, verse 6, and turned there, and it made no sense to her. She thought, right, Judges. Judges 18, verse 6. What does it say? Go in peace, for the Lord is watching over your journey. God is obviously saying something to me at the moment about peace. There will be so many things entering into your head at that precise moment, telling you that you've just imagined that verse up out of thin air. That there's no point in even turning to the scripture to look at it because you've just imagined it. You've just imagined it. Well, they are the devil's taunts, yeah, which we must resist and press through if we were to exercise what the writers of this book call the faith of leap. Yeah? You see, friends, you don't start out on this journey of faith by feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You don't start your faith journey like that. We start out by opening ourselves up to the possibility that God wants to do life with us. That he wants to have a real relationship with us. That he wants to actively guide us, not passively, actively guide us on a daily basis. Then we look to him to do just that. To do just that. And we ask him to speak into our hearts and into our lives. Believe that he will and act on it. That is the faith of leap. A faith which expects God to have an opinion on our lives and to seek after it and to leap for it. Then it builds day by day so that we start living the adventure, full life, which Jesus himself lived. Not secure or safe or dull, but uncertain, risky, and exciting. It starts out by us doing the small things that God places on our heart. Zechariah 4, verse 10, this verse has cropped up time and time again. Despise not the day of small beginnings, because that's where our faith journey starts. It starts with small things, and it builds. It starts off by us bringing our fish, as in this story, however big or small, however tasty or not, to the master for him to use. It's not about us and our gift and our experiences. It's all about him and the use he chooses to make of our life offerings. Because he will make use of them. He promises, in fact, to multiply our effort for his glory. Can we have the next slide up, please? You can read through that, perhaps, as I'm speaking, because I know time is going. That passage there reads almost word for word what the DVD said earlier on about the feeding of the 5,000. Verse 10 there says, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. I wonder how many people live on Castle View and Castle Mine. I wonder. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it, just to know how many. So what can we get out of this passage? I think there are two main points, and that is, there are loads of points, but for us, I believe there's two main points, and that is human input. The loaves and the fish had to be offered. And secondly, God's supernatural input, the multiplication. Firstly, the human input. Here is a very important principle of the kingdom at work, because it's not all about God. And it's not all about our efforts. It's a partnership. The kingdom partnership, where God uses what we offer for his glory. If no one had offered their food that day, I don't think there would have been a miracle, because God has chosen to operate the kingdom in this way. By spiritually equipping his people to do the work. Someone had to be prepared to give what they had in order for the multiplication to take place. In order for God to work, there must have been a sacrificial heart, an attitude which says, Lord, you can have whatever I've got. Isn't it bewildering to think that the advancement of God's kingdom is dependent upon how much of ourselves we are prepared to give? Secondly, God's supernatural input. And if it's true that the advancement of the kingdom is dependent upon our willingness to give of ourselves, then it's just as true that we, having given of ourselves, need to be equipped by the Holy Spirit in our lives to be effective in that doing, in order for God to multiply the effort. Let me just summarize this. Perhaps you could have the next slide, please. Let me just summarize this this partnership by bringing us back to a verse that we looked at last year. John 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Don't get me wrong, guys. We can do loads of stuff. But if we want to see fruit, if you want to see the supernatural multiplication of our human effort, we must do it looking for God's input and involvement. But how often do we do that? Genuinely look for God to intervene and for God to actually come alongside us and work with us. Apart from me, God says, you can do nothing. With me, you will bear much fruit. No wonder God said, it was back in November, I don't mind what type of fish you bring. Oh, how big the loaves are. Whatever you bring, I will use it and multiply it for my glory, because that is the underlying partnership principle of the kingdom of God. If we remain in him and he in us, we will bear much fruit. Can you imagine being one of those early disciples? Simon Peter's life would never be the same again after that moment he responded to the call of Jesus by following him. It was the greatest risk he ever took, and the risks just kept on coming. His new life didn't get less risky after he made that decision. He never thought that not long after seeing 5,000 fed from five loaves and two fish, that he, Peter, would be defying gravity and walking on the water. This is incredibly challenging for us, friends, because God is saying to us that he's not the limiting factor. He is not the limiting factor. We are. Because whatever we give, however small or however big it is, he will bless it and supernaturally multiply it. The last slide, please. So what are we going to do with that? Are we going to take the safe option, or are we going to challenge ourselves to develop the faith of LEAP, which expects God to be involved in our lives on a daily basis, working with us so that our lives are fruitful and full? Oswald Chambers once said, a great deal more failure is the result of an excess of caution than a bold experimentation with new ideas. The frontiers of the kingdom of God would never advance by men and women of caution. What would your contribution to the kingdom partnership be? What would your fish offering and your bread offering, so to speak, your life offering look like? Are we prepared to be adventurous with our offering, our life offering? It's wonderful when God speaks to us, and he has spoken to us a lot, but he now challenges us and says, what are you going to do with it? How far are you prepared to go with it? Let's just pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for speaking to us as you do, Lord. And I just ask you, Father, that those challenging words, Lord, of how far are we prepared to go, how much are we prepared to give of ourselves to you, Lord, that, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you'd reassure us tonight, Lord, that whatever we give, you will use. Lord, we just say that we give freely to you, Lord. And we ask you, Father, that you would just come and work alongside us, Lord. You'd come and stand alongside us, Lord. That your name would be glorified. That your work would get done, Lord. That your kingdom would get built. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're just going to do two songs just as we close. I'm not suggesting we stand, just sit where you are. If you're not comfortable with singing, you don't know the songs, that's fine, just listen to the words. The words will be upon the screen, but I just want us to respond to what Peter's has just shared there, that our life is a partnership. It's not about God doing things and it's not about us doing things, but it's us doing life with God together. And a partnership starts by being close to each other. You can't be in a partnership if you're a long way away from each other. So the first song we're going to sing just is a song that says, draw me close to you and never let me go. And it's just a song that helps us express our desire to be close to God and to work with him. And then we'll finish with a song which says, Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed.
Draw me close to you, never let me go. I'll lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Else will place to feel the world.